turn to the Word of God. Last thought for tonight. Just thinking about love thy neighbour, and one thing that we're probably all aware of, that you can't choose your neighbours. And I think it's actually probably a good thing. The Lord puts us in a position or in a place where we can, as we've heard tonight from Brother Richie and Luke as well, that we get a chance to plant a seed and preach the Word to our neighbours. And I know, like Dan just said just then before, that you know, he'd love to have the family to come over here to Australia. I mean, we'd all love to go there, and all people said we'd love to see all our brothers and sisters across the world. And for me, I was just thinking about it, just came up to my mind just then, that I haven't had the privilege yet to travel all the world as such. But in my neighbourhood, my next door neighbour, I've got a Russian man. Across the road, I've got a South African man. And then on the other side, I've got an Englishman. And no, it's not a joke, okay? I literally have these. And the world's come to me, I suppose. And I assume it, like us, for the rest of us, we'll probably be in the same boat, being in a multicultural society in Australia. It's actually quite a gifted situation we find ourselves in. And in saying that, particularly just taking thought of my Russian neighbour next door, he's an elderly man, and his wife. They moved over from Russia probably about 10 years ago. And I go there quite often to help clean the gutters and get on the fruit trees and pull the fruit down with the nets and things like that. And it's been like that for a few years. Only just recently he's gone a bit quiet, so I was a little bit concerned for him. I thought I'd go check on him. And I went to his gate, and normally his gate's open, or I know how to get in. He knows I'm a locksmith, so he just lets me in anyway. No point locking it, you know. I'll just pick it. I seen him afar down the garage. He's always doing his bit of pruning and a little bit of gardening there. And he looked at me, and he looked quite scared of me, actually. And I was a little bit concerned for him. And so I looked at him for a moment, and I said, "Neighbour," you know, because he doesn't speak much English, and he paused for quite a while, and next minute he's like, "Neighbour." And what I didn't know is that obviously, because of the situations in the world that we know it, some persecutions can come upon people. As we know, being Christians, that persecutions can come upon Christians, but also people in the world can have persecution, and love is required to our neighbours, and all the people said. In doing so, I didn't realise it's played a massive part. He would go on to, with a bit of a translation, of course, and you can't rush it. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no trapdoor. That's okay. You got to talk a bit slower, but we get through, and it was really good because I got to talk to him about Jesus Christ. And obviously from his background, there's a little bit of a different way about it, some of the upbringings in Russia and that, but he came to Australia to flee the communist side of things and have a new way of life. But I'm praying, and I hope that we just all pray, that he still might even have more of a new way of life yet to come. So anyway, better get on with the talk. Last thought for tonight, love thy neighbour. If we look at the history books, we scroll back, we look at in the early days with Moses talking to the children of Israel, there'd be a time there in Leviticus 19, without turning to it for the time being, in verse 18 it says, "But thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord." So as the Lord has done, he wants us to do it to the others. And he's talking to the children of Israel here, to the people in your family, your friends, whether it be in your neighbour. What we find here is that although it had been mentioned, it's a statement in the Bible, it's a written law. Now, when I mean by a written law, we'll see if we turn to Matthew chapter 7, if we can, please, verse 12. You can turn there, blank. Thanks. It's a written law of love. So it's something that's been asked of. But technically, or I suppose persuasively, that's not necessarily what will just come out straight away. It's a choice that somebody has to make, of course, ultimately at the end of the day. If we ever look here where Jesus talks here, just a scripture here, Matthew 7, verse 12, it just says and reads here, and this is from Jesus himself, it says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye do, that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, the difference we've got here is we've got a historical event where we know, I just mentioned there, it's a written law of love. But now we have the spirit filled, and all the people said, the spirit of love, it produces it naturally from the spirit. Whether sometimes naturally within ourselves, we may struggle sometimes to show that. We've got different ways of showing things. I mean, I know my wife would say to me, particularly being, I don't know if I can say this now, but, you know, a typical male sometimes, I might be a bit more naive to some things sometimes, and my wife will help me realize the way I need to present myself. But, and then my wife will be different also according to, and God's got an amazing thing of different ways of love. And we heard with kids too, sometimes we love our kids and we love them dearly, but sometimes some tough love is required as well. There's many different loves, you know, sweet love, you know, I won't go into that, you know, but yeah, there's many different forms of love. But the love we're talking about tonight is a genuine love. And this is a spirit-filled love as the Bible's talking to us. Like I said, it produces it from the Spirit. We've got to allow the Spirit to produce it. Another example would be, just quickly. So just recently my neighbors, from behind, the Aussie ones, so different ones again now. And sometimes, you know, neighbors, sometimes, you know, things happen and the school holidays, they got teenage sons as well. I got teenagers too, so I know what it's like. And, one of them particularly was playing cricket at the back with a cricket ball. Little to our, pleasure. A cricket ball hitting a fence isn't the nicest of sounds, and the dogs don't like it too. You know, you got two English cocker spaniels biting at the bit for hours on end. And anyway, I sort of naturally, carnally, I was like, I've had enough. Time to go have a chat. And so I packed my bags. I found the cricket balls in my back garden. I put them on my back, you know, and got on my bike, went around. Had to sort of go around the neighbourhood to get to the neighbour. It's where they are situated. Knock on the door, and in my mind, the flesh was fighting, but the Spirit, thank God, was willing, at that time, and it took over. When the wife and husband answered the door, I managed to, in all honesty, I felt the Lord change me through the Spirit, and we spoke with subtleness, slow to wrath, and I just mentioned that the noise is becoming quite a nuisance. It upsets the children. It's very hard to and then also the fence, let alone, you know, getting a bit of damage. Anyway, they were a bit sort of very, obviously, you know, had their defense mechanisms up straight away because it's not a nice thing to have to be done, but a bit of tough love, I suppose. But what happened was I had the cricket balls in my hand, and where's Pastor Mark? Wickstein, stay calm. Had the cricket balls in my hand, and I said, look, I've got some of the cricket balls that have come over my fence. Please have them back. I mean, I love sport too, so, but how about use a tennis ball and try to provide a tennis ball, like an alternative method, you know, because I know kids need to get out. And long story short, it was very well, taken. Very well, actually, to the point where I'd go home on my merry way, start having dinner. Next minute, I'd get a knock on the door about an hour later, and it was the husband. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right, no. Spiritually minded. All right. Anyway, so I've gone to the door, and we had a really good conversation, and it really opened doors up for the Word of God. Little did I know he was, the son, is a lot of things going in people's lives and we don't know. And, what actually happened, maybe because, situational that, I grew up in, Elizabeth, I suppose, you know some systems sometimes, a bit of streetwise wisdoms and things like that, which can also come into play, you know, with our scriptures and that. But, I ended up being able to have a chat with this young man one-on-one. In his home. They actually got me go back to his home, and he had his teenage mates with him. And because they think they're pretty, tough, you know, and not that there was any tough, talking, but I just got a chance to talk to him, and they got to see me for who I am, the neighbor behind the fence. And I had a chat to him. We had a good chat, and they ended up wouldn't let me go. These teenagers kept asking questions. We kept talking, and lo and behold, now when I see him, they walk past and go, "Hey, Johnny, hey, come on," you know, like, so, hey, I'm in with the teenagers. All right. No. Ooh, it's a hard gig. All right. No. Anyway, back to where I've got to focus again. All right. So what I'm more pointing towards is that love thy neighbor is a very important thing. And I'd like to consider it to be, as we heard tonight, the combination of the greatest commandment alongside with the greatest commission. And so the love and the preaching. To love to preach to thy neighbour. And it puts us in a unique position. We know without turning to it for time, we'll stay away from for turning a few pages here. But in Acts 3:6, we see an example of it actually happening. We have Peter, and he said to the lame man, as he knows he walks past, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He preached the name of Christ to a man that was wanting, maybe he was begging at this particular time, and the love of Christ is more than just what you'd love yourself almost. It's actually to give up your desires for somebody else a bit more. So you could, for example, we could flick him a coin, some silver, and he'd be happy for a little bit of time, wouldn't he? For just a little bit. But yet if we preach the word of God and he gets an opportunity to see the keys of life, he can be happy forever. And all the people said, so if you love somebody, you'll give them the maximum, the love of Christ. Don't get me wrong. If you're in a position to give your shirt or to give your shoes or flick a coin, do so. But ultimately, if you don't, or ultimately, even if you do, we must, if that presents an opportunity to us to present the word to somebody, to do it unto the Lord. It's an amazing thing. The Lord will bless them of the feet that preach the gospel. How beautiful is the feet of them that preach the gospel. And that's true love. It's all love. We will turn to John 15 just to finish on. John 15, if we can turn there, please. So to remove our own desires, to give up our self-interest, giving the utmost potential, it's the utmost potential to show God's love. If we can put ourselves in that position, what a great thing to be. And on such a night, being in a spirit-filled environment and having a time of prayer and fast, reading our scriptures, praying spirit, can't be any better place. And all the people said, what a wonderful place we are in. God's love to us. And we reflect that through him. Just in John 15, verse 9, once again, going back to Jesus here, in words in red. And it just says here, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. We already heard tonight that he went around healing and preaching and teaching. If you're not learning, you're dead. You know, we heard that. I like that. We got to learn. Learning is growing. And then by doing so, our spirit is fed and it keeps us in love. Verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, and we spoke about commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So God's promise to us in return, and that we'll have the promises of God. What an amazing love that is. Verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you, as to us, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full joy. How good is full joy? You know, it doesn't say just a little bit of joy. It's a full joy in God. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's just a little quote from General George Smith Patton Jr. He was a general in the United States Army. He was actually around back in November the 11th, 1885, to December 21, 1945. He served in for the U.S. Army. And I'd love to do that as an American accent, but But he says here, it is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. And in our walk in Christ, we do, and we lay down our life for our brothers and our sisters and our neighbours. And all the people said, this is the love he wants. It says there, verse 13, just closing, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And all the people said, amen. I'll have to leave it there.